Welcome and good morning. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. This service will be led by Ken Bartlett. Thank you, Ken, and we look forward to hearing your words. Tea and coffee will be served between our morning services in the Mayo Hall, and our evening service starts at 6:30. Pastoral news. The holiday season is well underway, especially as all schools have now finished their academic years. Please pray for safe journeys and the right weather for the people who are going away, and remember those who will not be having a holiday away at all. Here's a little reminder that next Sunday, the 30th of July, the Prudential Ride London is happening, and the ride goes through Kingston, and there are some road closures. There will also be extra traffic on Saturday, the 29th of July. You may or you may not remember that over the past 2 years, we've been in negotiation with the developers of Eden Walk. The development group have used church members' views and are getting closer towards an agreement that will benefit our church and fit with the developers' ideas for the town, for the centre of Kingston. Our influence is welcomed by the developers. That's just keeping you up to date.
Good morning, everybody. We begin our service by joining together in saying the words of the number 19 in the hymn book, but it's projected on the screen. I'll say the words in yellow, and will you join in the darker script? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let those who fear the Lord say, out of the depths I called upon the Lord. The Lord is at my side. I do not fear. The Lord's right hand has triumphed. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We join to sing hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Thank you.
using the words projected on the screen. Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised. Awaken us to delight in your praises, for you made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Dear Lord, you have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. Shed forth continual day upon us who watch for you, that our lips may praise you, our life may bless you, and our meditations glorify you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We join to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. We come now to the children's talk, and before I hand over the microphone, I'd just like us to note that on this Sunday, in all the services, we should be remembering the young people's Sunday groups and those who give dedicated service to teach in those, and the children who attend and hear what they have to say. So I'll now hand over the microphone to Steve.
Thank you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Good. Find out how I get rid of it. Right. I've got three cards here, and they've all got a letter on, and they make up a word. Esther, would you like to choose one, take one? There are four, you're quite right. Which one are you going to have, Dahi? And one for you. Ah, is it a W or an M? Good question. Let's look at the rest of them, and then we'll find out. Can you turn around and hold your letters up so that the grown-ups can see them? Right, now we've got a muddle of words. We've got a D, two E's, and a W. Can anybody guess what they say? Did you hear? What do they say? Weed. That's right. Thank you. Now, let's get you the right way around. Dahi, come this end. You go. You come down. What do you got, Aaron? E. Well, hold it the right way around. Okay. So, guess what we're going to talk about this morning? Well done. Right. Now, is that a weed? Do you know what a weed is? Go on, Aaron. Some weeds are daisies, some weeds are nice plants. Good. Pardon? That's weeds steal the flower space. That's a very good definition. I don't call this lovely rose a weed. these. Now, my computer went wrong and my printer didn't work, so I had to draw. And I'm not awfully good at drawing. But do you know what that is? Aaron? You plant it, it goes yellow. Dahi? It's a buttercup. Right. Do you think a buttercup is a weed? If it grew in my grass, I'd think it was a weed. And what about this one? It's a weed, but what is it? Amy? It's a dandelion, and I've got dandelions going in my grass, and I do think they're weeds. But what were you going to say, Dahi? Well, dandelions are, I think, always yellow. Ah, they go white when they have a little... That's all the seeds, and you can blow them, can't you? And they grow more dandelions. Yes. If I saw those in my garden, I'd say they were weeds. If I saw them out in the country, in a big field with lots of wildflowers, would they be weeds then? I think somehow weeds are flowers in the wrong place at the wrong time. I've got two more examples here. That's a bit of one of my bushes, but look what it's got round there. It's a weed, and it goes round and round the poor plant all the way up to there. And if it gets too tight, what would happen? The plant would die. And the other one I've got... Ouch. Ouch, ouch, ouch. Now, very gently feel that. Just one finger. Come on, Dahi. Done it. You're very brave. It's a sort of a thorn bush. And I thought, I don't want that growing in my hedge. But then I looked the other end. And look what it's got on the end. They're blackberries. I'm glad it's growing in my hedge because I've got my own private supply of blackberries. I'd like a few more, really. So, what do we say about weeds? Tell me what you said again, Dahi. I like that. Some weeds take up all the space of plants that have been planted there. And I think some weeds can be good or bad, depending on where they're growing. Sometimes people can be a bit like that. And sometimes it's very difficult to tell which is which. We're going to talk a bit more about that when we go outside now. Do you want to go back to you?
They've escaped before I could say that it's a great pleasure for us to have the children here. It's a great pleasure also to hear the address which is given to them, which is a part of our general worship here. So I'd just like to pause and give thanks for the people who give dedicated service and miss out on the service and prepare during the week for teaching them. So, Lord, we thank you for the gift which members of this church give to teaching children. Amen. We join to sing the hymn, Not Far Beyond the Sea, Nor High Above the Heavens, But Very Nigh, Your Voice, O God, Is Heard. Our first reading will be read by Barbara Fielding, and it comes from Paul's Epistle to the Romans.
The reading is from Romans chapter 8, starting to read at verse 12. So then, my brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to live as our human nature wants us to. For if you live according to your human nature, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death your sinful actions, you will live. Those who are led by God's Spirit are God's children. For the Spirit that God has given you does not make you slaves and cause you to be afraid. Instead, the Spirit makes you God's children. And by the Spirit's prayer, we cry out to God. Father, my Father, God's Spirit joins himself to our spirits to declare that we are God's children. Since we are his children, we will possess the blessing he keeps for his people, and we will also possess with Christ what God has kept for him. For if we share Christ's sufferings, we also share his glory. I consider that what we suffer at this present time cannot be compared at all with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. All of creation waits with eager longing for God to reveal his children. For creation was condemned to lose its purpose, not of its own will, but because God willed it to be so. Yet there was the hope that creation itself one day be set free from its slavery to decay and would share the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that up to the present time, all of creation groans with pain, like the pain of childbirth. But it is not just creation alone which groans. We who have the Spirit as the first of God's gifts also groan within ourselves as we wait for God to make us his children and set our whole being free. For it was by hope that we were saved. But if we see what we hope for, and it's not really hope. For which of us hopes for something we see? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it in patience. Amen.
Our second reading will be read by Denise Scorer, and it comes from Matthew.
The second reading is taken from Matthew, chapter 13, starting at verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man sowed good seed in his field. One night, when everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the plants grew and the ears of corn began to form, then the weeds showed up. The man's servants came to him and said, "Sir, it was good seed you sowed in your field. Where did the weeds come from?" "It was some enemy who did this," he answered. "Do you want us to go and pull up the weeds?" they asked him. "No," he answered, "because as you gather the weeds, you might pull up some of the wheat along with them. Let the wheat and the weeds both grow together until harvest. Then I will tell the harvest workers to pull up the weeds first, tie them in bundles and burn them. and then to gather in the wheat and put it in my barn. And then continuing at verse 36. When Jesus had left the crowd and gone indoors, his disciples came to him and said, "Tell us what the parable about the weeds in the field means." Jesus answered, "The man who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed is the people who belong to the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one, and the enemy who sowed the weeds is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvest workers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered up and burnt in the fire, so the same thing will happen at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels to gather up out of his kingdom all those who cause people to sin and all others who do evil things. And they will throw them into the fiery furnace, where they will cry and grind their teeth. Then God's people will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Listen then, if you have ears."
This is the second of three Sundays where the gospel reading is one of Jesus' parables. Last week it was the parable of the sower. This week it's the wheat and the weeds. And next week we have four little parables: the mustard seed, the treasure hidden in the field, the barrel of yeast, and the pearl of great price. The parables are one of the great human treasures. They are part of our language, and they have become part of our thinking processes. Yet, these innocent stories have always puzzled those who heard them. So we find the disciples saying to Jesus, "Explain to us the story of the sower." The gospel then records Jesus turning the simple story into a more complicated account, an allegory, where all the elements of the story have significant spiritual significance. So in the parable of the sower, the seed on the rocky ground becomes people who hear the message of Jesus with joy, but have no root, so they do not last. And the seed which falls in the thorns become the people who hear the word of Jesus but are choked by the cares of the world and the lure of wealth. And we are accustomed to thinking about, in this way, about the meaning of the parables. But if you think more carefully, it is clear that the story has been adapted to fit the experience of the later Christian church preaching its gospel. The simplicity and the meaning of the original story has been lost. From the writing of the gospels to the 19th century, it was taken for granted that the parables were allegories, and that every feature of them must have its own spiritual significance. So in the parable of the Great Supper, where one of the guests said he could not come because he had bought 5 yoke of oxen and needed to try them, Augustine said that the 5 yoke of oxen were the 5 senses which draw people away from the things of the spirit. This was hardly what was in Jesus' mind. And in the parable of the Good Samaritan, the man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, it was made into Adam, who forsook the city of heavenly peace, Jerusalem, for the change and decay of our mortal life, Jericho. The thieves who beat the traveller became the devil and his angels. The Samaritan who rescued the traveller was our Lord. The inn became the church, and the innkeeper, the Apostle Paul. The 2 pence the Samaritan gave to the innkeeper became the 2 commandments of love. When we list these ideas, we see at once how odd they are. However, they aren't isolated. They are fair examples of the approach to interpreting the parables which prevailed for almost 2,000 years until the late 19th century. It's clear that the original meaning of the parables told by Jesus has been overlaid and lost by the allegories which were used justifiably for the later situation of the Christian church. And we now owe a great debt to scholars who went back to the text to distinguish the stories which Jesus told from the way in which the early church used them later. A man called Adolf Ulliker showed that when we hear a parable, we must not look for a hidden significance in the details. Instead, we must view the parable as a whole and look for the one point it is designed to make clear. For example, the parable of the Good Samaritan is a story to give a new dimension to our notion of our neighbour, the one to whom we are to give our love. The story of the prodigal son, who was freely forgiven, and his brother, who was furious as a result, tells us that the generosity of God's love is so great, so astounding, that some people find it offensive and unfair. The parable of the sower is not about different kinds of people who hear the gospel. Instead, it tells us that in the realm of the spirit, as in agriculture, a bounteous harvest will result, even if some of the seed goes to waste in unreceptive soil. The work of great New Testament scholars like Joachim Jeremias open our eyes to the fundamental message of Jesus. He has given us the ability to read the parables without being taken away from the first meaning of Jesus by distractions written for a later time and a different context. It was no wonder that the disciples were puzzled by the stories which Jesus told, because their meaning is not self-evident. So Jesus said, "People who have ears to hear, let them hear." And to his disciples, "To you it is given to know my message, but to others only in parables." So we now come to the parable of the wheat and the weeds, and the allegory which Matthew attaches to it. Matthew's interpretation came out of his preoccupation with problems of church discipline in his own time. The field which Jesus described became the church of his time. It now contained sons of the devil as well as the children of God. The devil had planted his servants in the midst of the church. So Matthew thinks of the harvest as the time of judgment. He was concerned with the difference between the good and the bad. Now consider Jesus' parable. The picture of a field with weeds is not surprising. The surprising thing, judging by our garden, would be a field with no weeds. The field represents the community with its mix of good and bad members. Jesus can live with that. Whereas John the Baptist had been all out for present judgment, Jesus' parables teaches that the separation of the good from the bad must await the judgment of God. In the meantime, people live together and grow in understanding, and there is time for repentance. God allows good people and bad people to live side by side in his own community. We must not anticipate the judgment of God by trying to form a community of the pure, a truly horrible concept. Fortunately, because we are all individuals, members of KURC, we know perfectly well that KURC is not a community of the pure. The thrust of the parable is in tune with Jesus' invitation to tax gatherers and sinners, and his refusal to form a separate group of holy and righteous people like the exclusive sect of the Pharisees. And this is virtually the opposite of the interpretation which Matthew put on later because of the situation of the church, which was about the importance of separating the good and the bad as fast as possible. It's in line with Jesus' own parables about the net which was cast into the sea and which gathered fish of every kind. The parable was not about sorting out the fish. It was an illustration that the appeal of the gospel is to people of all sorts and all kinds of conditions. The message of the wheat, of the parable of the wheat and the weeds, is about openness. It's about not making judgment about people. It's about offering a community in which people learn together and grow together. It will be a mixed community. It will be a church which contains genuine Christians and others. A church which contains people who are strict about religious observance and others who are lax. It will be a church who enables people of different temperaments and styles of worship to belong and respect each other. This does not mean that there is no judgment, but it does mean that we are invited to join on a journey, growing together until the harvest. We keep silence for a moment or two. We join to sing a hymn which celebrates the riches which we get out of the Bible. Lord, thy word abideth, and our footsteps guideth, who its truth believeth, light and joy receiveth.
Thank you.
We join to bring our prayers for ourselves, for the world, and for our friends into the presence of God in this community. God's justice is always blended with mercy and loving kindness, so that we have real hope. After each of the sections, when I say, God of mercy, would you respond, hear us as we pray? Can we try that? God of mercy, let us draw near to the just and merciful God and pour out our concerns for the church and for the world. Lord our God, as we join the unending cycle of prayer on our planet, turning through time and space, we rejoice in your upholding, your mercy, and your forgiveness. In our small-mindedness, we ask your inbreathing, so that we learn to look with your vision and act with your wideness of compassion. God of mercy, hear us as we pray. During this week, negotiations between Britain and the EU has begun. Let us pray for those negotiations. Lord our God, be present at all meetings and negotiations where feelings run high and many lives are profoundly affected by the decisions made. We pray for real communication, which listens to needs and appreciates difficulties, so that we may live on this earth together in harmony and peace. God of mercy, hear us as we pray. During this week, hundreds of people packed into the church which Liz and I attended for 35 years in North Kensington for the funeral of two of the many people killed in Grenfell Tower. And the minister said that their deaths had been part of a very public tragedy and a very public grief affecting all the families in the tower. The Grenfell Tower fire has devastated an entire community, he said. It was avoidable and utterly wasteful of so many talented and gifted people. Let us pray for their neighbourhood and for our neighbourhoods and for the particular problems which both of us have. Let's pray for communities split apart from conflict or crushed by tragedy. We pray for those involved with court proceedings that our judicial system may uphold true values of justice with peace. God of mercy, hear us as we pray. The headlines in our papers have underlined the difference of wealth and the great divisions in our country. Lord our God, we pray for those who have had a raw deal in this life. We pray for people with ongoing health problems. We pray for those who are caught up in unfairness and division. We remember those across the world who are caught up in war and deprivation. We remember those children in Calais who have families in England but have not been able to make contact with them. If they were enabled to be, they would be able to come over here, they would have a right to come. We pray for a just and realistic sharing of our resources. We pray for courage, support, and healing for all who suffer. God of mercy, hear us as we pray. Lord our God, we pray for those who have died. We pray for their, we give thanks for their witness, and we thank you for all their acts of goodness and love. God of mercy, hear us as we pray. Lord our God, in all the events and phases of our life, we give you thanks for your steadfast and unchanging love, which sustains and directs us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue our service by making our offering. Eternal God, we come with these gifts to offer the praise of our lips and the service of our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We join to sing, Great God, your love has called us here, as we by love, for love were made. Sit down, please. We've been rejoined by the children.
We've been painting. The children had a choice of paint or collage, and they all went for paint. We've got wheat and weeds. And one or two are still finishing off. They didn't want to come in till they'd finished.
May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us and remain with us always. Amen. As we leave, we greet each other with the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.